glorify them.
Yeah. Praise be to God. I'm going to speak in my Methodist voice.
All right.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
Context here is the Sunday before the resurrection, which we will celebrate next week. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. It was Jesus' last public act before his death at Calvary, and he's about to fulfill Zechariah 9:9. I'm going to read it. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king, capital K, cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Does anyone else have salvation besides the Lord Jesus Christ? No, I don't mean able to impart it. Okay. Only Jesus had salvation. Amen. And he imparted it to you and me.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. We refer to it as Palm Sunday. You know, the crowds were casting palms before the Lord as he descended from the Mount of Olives and entered Jerusalem and came and cleared out the temple and did, you know, so many things in order to prove his messiahship. They chanted Hosanna, which means several things. It means save us now. And it means please save. That's the exact literal meaning. Hosanna, please save. You know, the prophet Ezekiel tells us in chapters 8 to 10 how the glory of the Lord had previously departed from the temple and from Jerusalem because of the priests' apostasy and idolatry. They shared worship between Jehovah and Asherah, a pagan goddess. Her image described in Ezekiel 8, verse 3, as the image of jealousy. It's an idol that provokes the Lord to jealousy. Do you know how much affection he has for us? And how he wants so much for us to get everything out of the way that comes between us and him. It's all idolatry. And if it becomes between us and him, he's not well pleased.
Amen.
And he will do something about it in order to get that thing out of the way, whatever it is. We all have idols. We all have things in our lives that God does not want us to possess or look to or have affection for that takes affection away from him.
Amen.
Is that true?
Yes.
Praise be to God. Look at verse 4. We have to go back to, Ezekiel chapter 8. We're out of Mark now. We'll get back to Mark. But we're going to Ezekiel chapter 8. I just read 8:3, talking about the image of jealousy. Ezekiel chapter 8. Praise be to God. We're talking about the glory of God that had inhabited the temple, had inhabited Jerusalem, had inhabited all of Israel, and how now it is departing because of the apostasy and idolatry of the priesthood.
That's right.
Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 4. We're going to see this phrase over and over again. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Where was it? It was in the temple. What we have here is Ezekiel, God's prophet, now in Babylonian captivity with many of the people of Israel, and God takes him in the spirit and transports him back to Jerusalem and shows him visions of why they were in captivity to begin with. That's what's going on here. That's the context. And he saw the glory of the God of Israel according to the vision that I saw in the plain. And the important point here is that the satanic can coexist with the godly. And it does in this earth. There is the satanic and there is the godly. And you and I are supposed to represent the godly. We are supposed to represent the godly in every way that we can.
That's right.
And oppose the powers of darkness. Every way we can. We are to choose daily between the precious and the vile. Amen?
Yeah.
God tells us to choose the precious and reject the vile. Why? Because he knows where the vile leads to, and he knows where the precious leads to. And we want to go in the direction of the precious, don't we?
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Even though idolatry was in abundance in Jerusalem, and even in the very temple of the Lord. And who is the temple now? We are the temple. And we can have some vile stuff in here, can't we? We can have some idolatrous stuff in here. We can have some bad stuff in here. And God says, choose between the precious and the vile. And if you really want that vile out of you, I can handle it. I can do it. I can get it out of there 100%. And I can fill you with my precious. But you have to want it because I've given you choice. Jack was talking about choice this morning in his Bible study. We have choice. I can choose. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. Praise be to God. You know, God told Moses to tell the old covenant people that he had set before them what? Life and blessing, curses and death. And he said, I'm telling you, people, choose life. It's a lot better. You don't want death. You don't want my curses. You want life and blessing. Same with us. Daily. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. You know, there are certain things. You know, I wake up in the morning with certain, I don't know about you. You know, maybe I'm crazy. But I wake up with a song, usually. And it just starts to, and I can't get it out of my head. You know, this morning it was, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. And no, it wasn't. It was the other holy, holy. I got about five holy, holies in there. It was the one with holy, early in the morning. Blessed Trinity. Blessed Trinity. Yes, that one. That holy. And it just went through my head all morning. And I almost put it on the song list. Lord, you're trying to tell me something? Maybe he was. Maybe I missed it. I don't know. But God puts stuff on our minds when we wake up in the morning. You know, he puts stuff in there during the night. He puts stuff in there before we go to sleep. And he says, pay attention to this stuff. I'm doing this for a purpose. You know? Yes. Blessed Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Holy, holy, holy. Praise be to God. And what he's saying, I believe, to us now is choose life. Yeah. Let that be our banner. Every day, I've set before you life and blessings. So take hold of it. It's not rocket science, you know? Just take hold of it. Life and blessing. Praise be to God. More from Ezekiel. There's a reason for this. Let's look at verses 5. We're still in Ezekiel 8, beginning with verse 5. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entrance. He saw an idol, Ashtoreth. This was a pagan goddess of fertility that they were combining with Jehovah. Do you know how much God hates mixture? He can't stand mixture. No mixture. Get it out of there. Get all that pollution out of there. What do they call those things where you mix metals?
Alloys.
Alloys, yes. Get rid of that. I want pure brass. I want pure gold. I want pure silver. I don't want any of those alloys mixed up with it. And he said furthermore, verse 6, unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And then he goes to the court of the temple. And when I looked, verse 7, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. Dark recesses. Into the dark recesses of what these priests were doing in reality. And he said, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and I saw, and behold every form of creeping things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. You know what he's talking here? He's talking about in the places where the priests hung out underneath the temple. There were, you know, places where they had their bedrooms and their compartments and everything else. And what did they have down there? They had all these images drawn on the walls of these idolatries and these abominations. And God says, look at them. Look what they're doing down there. I hate it. I hate it. And you know what he says to us? He says there are a lot of ministers out there who are doing the same thing today. It's not on written on walls. Where is it written? It's written on the mind and the heart. That's where it's written. I want to jump down to verse 12. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. You know what that speaks to me? It speaks to our fantasy life. It speaks to our imagination. And God is saying, your imaginations and your fantasy life can be really messed up if you don't choose life every single day of your life. For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. No, he hasn't. And he sees everything. And everything that goes on in here and in here, he sees. And he says, I'm going to judge it. I can't let you get away with that because I'm a holy God. I'm completely holy. And I can't let you be anything less than holy. And I can't let you be anything less than building up into the righteousness of Christ that I have placed upon you, and have all these fantasies and imaginations that are consuming you day by day. You got to get rid of them. And how can you get rid of them? How can I get rid of them? I got fantasies in there. I got stuff going on there that isn't perfectly holy. By giving it to the Lord. Saying, Jesus, take it out of me.
Yes.
Pull it out of me. Yank it out of me. cut it out of me. Do whatever you have to do to get all that junk out of there so I can walk in the beauty of holiness before you. Praise be to God. Let's look at chapter 9. Bye, Dan. Got Kara covered. Verse 3. And the glory of the Lord, of the God of Israel, was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. Now we're talking about from the recesses of the temple to the court of the temple. The glory is departing. Step by step. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side, and the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Are we sighing and crying for the abominations that are going on around us? Look how abundant they are. And it gets worse every single day. And God says, I will mark you as one who cries out against that stuff, who speaks out against that stuff, whose heart cry is saying, no, this can't be. We cannot allow this to be. You know, it's just the opposite of Revelation, where the mark that they had caused them to be forever lost. But this is a mark from the Lord God who says, you stand for righteousness and I'll put a mark on you and nobody's going to erase that mark. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. He wants us to stand up for righteousness. Look at chapter 10, verse 4. Here we are again. The glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. The house is the temple. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Look at chapter 10, verse 18. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. Remember the cherubims outside the temple? Seemingly guarding it. In verse 19, and the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, the east gate of the temple. And the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. Turn to chapter 11. I'm going to make a point here very soon. Chapter 11, verse 23. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain. Which mountain is that? The Mount of Olives, which is on the east side of the city. And finally, 13. Chapter 13. That goes into all the idolatry, and I'm not going to rehearse that again, but turn to chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. This is a very important scripture. 14:9, and if the prophet be deceived, he's talking about the false prophets of the priesthood in that day, but in every day. There are many false prophets among us. Many. And they don't know what they're talking about. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. Benny Hinn come to mind. Maybe some others. And I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. Here's the key verse. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity, the false prophets, but look what it says. the punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. You know how important that is? You know how heavy that is? That means if I go to a Benny Hinn alleged crusade where they're having, you know, hot dog stands in the background where you can eat hot dogs and everything and watch the circus display down on the stage, and I buy into his foolishness, I'm just as guilty as he is. Just as guilty as he is. And I'm going to bear the punishment of it. And the glory of God is going to depart from me just as he departed from the house, from the threshold, up to the Mount of Olives, and finally the glory of God was gone. Let's go back to Mark 11. No, let's go to Zechariah. I have to build one more pillar here. Zechariah 14. You know what was happening in Mark 11, as in Matthew, all four Gospels talk about Palm Sunday. And as Jesus descended from the Mount of Olives down the mountain, and they strewed palms and garments in front of him, and he went down through the east gate of Jerusalem and into the temple, and there destroyed, you know, the tables of the money senders and everything else. What was he doing? He was reversing the glory of the Lord leaving the temple. And he came down and said, I'm reversing all that. Would you please see it and accept it? And what did they do? They crucified him. He said, I have the power to reverse all of that. The glory has come back. The glory has descended from the Mount of Olives into your temple. And you reject it. You reject it. That's what he was doing in real time, in prophetic time. What he was doing was looking forward to the day in Zechariah 14. Look at verse 4. The day when he returns in glory. And his feet shall stand in that day where? Upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. You read that whole thing, it's a beautiful, beautiful scripture, but let's just look at verses 8 and 9. And it shall be in that day that what? Living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, in summer toward the Dead Sea, I jotted down here, toward the Mediterranean, in summer and in winter shall it be, in verse 9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Praise be to God. So Jesus was rehearsing something in real time. He was reversing the loss of the glory of God from the temple and from Jerusalem. And in prophetic time, he was looking forward to the day when he would once again stand on the Mount of Olives, and this time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now we can go back to Mark 11. I only have a little bit more here. One small point. Jesus had told the disciples to go get this colt, right? So if you look at 11 verse 5, they go to loose the colt, and it says, certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye? Loosing the colt. Hey, who do you think you are? Taking this colt. You know, the enemy will always try to thwart what God wants to do, whether it's a real small thing, seemingly, or a big thing. The enemy is always there to raise an objection. But you know what I love? Is that the word always trumps what the enemy wants to do. Verse 3, "And if any man say unto you, why do this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him thither." I will have the preeminence. I'm going to get that colt.
Amen.
I don't care what the enemy tries to do to thwart it. I'm going to have that colt. Because he had to fulfill the scripture, Zechariah 9:9, of coming down from the Mount of Olives on that colt. Now I want to get to the heart of the message. Won't take that long. I'm not going to keep you here forever. But look at verse 4. Mark 11, verse 4. "And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loose him." And the scripture that jumps out at me is, "in a place where two ways met." Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
There's always a place where two ways meet, isn't there?
Yes, yes.
Always. I can go to the right or the left. I can go up and down. I can choose this way or that way. I can, like Kenny Rogers, hold them or fold them. God has given me choice, hasn't he? I can jump into the will of God with both feet or just dip my toes in the water of life. There's a place where two ways meet every single day of our lives. I can go for it or I can go from it. There are always two ways, life and blessing, death and curses. We want to choose life, don't we?
Amen.
Over and over, there comes a place or places each and every day where two ways meet. What if those two disciples had yielded to the pressure of those who were questioning them? And had said, "Well, we'll just leave the colt here." What would that have led to? Jesus would have had to override it in some way and do something else. We have to choose. Always. You know, I have a friend I work with. He's a straight-up guy. He has his head screwed on straight. He was with the NYPD for 22 years. He's retired. He's 74 years old. And he's driving, you know, Rocky. Italian guy. And he's always, you know, with... The Italians are always bumping, you know. Richie, I'm telling you. Richie, you know, smacking against me. I love the guy, you know. But he's a Mason. And he's trying to recruit me, of all people, into the Masons. You know, my father was a past master, I told him, of a Masonic lodge in Jersey City. And when he died, three guys showed up at my mother's house and said, "We'll take care of everything." They took care of the funeral arrangements. They paid for the funeral. They gave her money. They took care of her for years afterwards. They do good deeds on the lower levels. But they don't realize that on the higher levels, you're into the occult. And what the light that they are drawing you to, in essence, is Lucifer. It's not the light of Christ. It's a whole other light. And so I know, I've read extensively about the Masons, and he's trying to recruit me into the Masons. You would love it. You would love the ritual. We do scriptures, you know. We start every meeting with Isaiah, and, you know, dude, I said, "I'm not a joiner." You know, the other, before... The former me would have gone ballistic on him, you know? And I've done that with people. I've gone ballistic on people. Do you know what that's about? Do you ever read the writings of Albert Pike, who is the official biographer of the Masons, and what he says, and it's all about Lucifer, and it's... But no. You know, I'm a guy of love.
Thank you, Jesus.
And peace. So I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? And he said, invite him to church. You've got him interested. He's asking about your church. He sees the sign every day when he passes by. He says, you know, what does your church believe? Do you have a specific denomination? No, we're just independent, non-denominational. Anybody can come, and we try to preach the truth. He said, invite him to church and expose him to the truth, little by little. And that's the way to proceed. So that's the way I'm going to proceed. Praise be to God. You know, we need discernment. Do I go this way? Or do I go that way? I pray for discernment every single day of my life. Not only for me, but for everyone in this body. For discernment. Which way to turn? How to proceed? We need the Spirit and a vision of Jesus proceeding down from the Mount of Olives, heading toward the cross. People cheering him on. And then abandoning him. Hosanna, please save us. And then it's no Hosanna. We don't want any part of you. Praise be to God. You know, God has always and will always give everyone a choice. There is always a place where two ways meet. And God says, let me lead you in the way everlasting. I think of the King of Salvation from Zechariah 9:9. He held my salvation. And while I was in that place where two ways met, the flesh in me wanted to pull back and get out of this place because I don't like the feeling. I've never felt anything like this before.
Yes.
And the Spirit of God was pulling me down towards the altar. Thank God I gave place to that power. It was a power that I'd never felt before. And God led me to that place of salvation. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus came down from that mount and he undid, showed the people what he was doing, undoing the place that you had come into, in which there's no percentage. You know, you can't fight God. There's no percentage in fighting God. There's no percentage in it whatsoever. His very name means salvation. And Emmanuel, God with us, and thank God in us. He opened the doors of salvation. He opened the ways to the rivers of living waters.
Amen.
He opened the door to the sheepfold for all who will open their hearts to him. And he opened the door to complete restoration.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
By Scripture. Psalm 69:4. Then he restored that which he took not away. He didn't take anything away from me. I gave it up.
Yes,
praise because God. Of my own stupidity and foolishness and weakness. And I want to close with scripture from Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. Talks about the new heaven and the new earth. John the Apostle speaking. Revelation 21, 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.
Thank you.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. When Jesus came down that mountain on Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago, that's what he opened the door to. He's saying, there's coming a day. Wait for it. Pray for it. Behold it when it comes. And embrace it when it comes. Where I'm going to wipe away every sorrow you've ever had upon this earth. And death itself. And there'll be no more crying. I've cried a lot of tears in my Christian life. I'm sure you have too. It's okay.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm sure it's the kids. And God says, I'm going to wipe them all away.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's right.
That doesn't mean he's going to take a tissue and wipe them like that. He's going to take every hurt that caused every one of those tears out of our existence completely, forever and ever and ever. Because that's the God whom we serve. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. We give you all praise and glory, honor and power, Lord. Hallelujah. Thou art worthy, Lord. Father, we thank you what you did, Father, in that season of Resurrection Sunday, Lord. We thank you the price that Jesus paid for us. We thank you, Father God. Everything he did was in secret, but this was wide open. So he could tell us again and again, proclaim my death until I come, because that is the source of your life. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Father, when those places where two things meet, Lord, come before us each and every day, help us to make the right choice, we pray, Lord, and to go in the right direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The altar will be open for prayer. Sing a song. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, I'll fly away. Where do we start?
Jesus.
Where do we start? You've been so good and so gracious to us. I thank you for your entry into the temple, even though it led to a cross. But I thank you, Lord, that in that leading to the cross, there was a resurrection. And in that resurrection, you brought us, O King Jesus, our Savior, our Savior from all the life of death and sin and wretchedness into a light of darkness. For you have come into these temples and you have filled us with your glory.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you.
It's so beautiful. I thank you, Lord, that there's no Ichabod on us. For the glory of God has entered in and we have chosen the way of life and not the way of death. We have come to the corner where two roads meet, and we have chosen the way of life, the highway of holiness, to serve you in spirit and in truth, to walk with you in the newness of life which comes from your kingdom. I thank you for that goodness and the precious blessing of being your children. Jesus said that he calls us his friends. And you say that you call us your children. Children of light, children of blessing. And we yield ourselves unto you that the light might not be hid, that it might be set on a candlestick for all the world to see your glory. For we know your goal is that the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of your glory as the waters cover the sea. Use these, your people, your children, your friends, Lord, to manifest that glory. And I thank you, Lord, that when our lives are over, as we've just sang, we'll fly away. Into the glory of the kingdom of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And thus we shall ever be with the Lord in his glory and in his kingdom, experiencing all the most beautiful things of the treasures of your kingdom. And we praise you, Lord, for you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Help us to share, be filled, overflowing with your spirit, that we would just be bubbling over, that others might see the hope that dwelleth within us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And praise Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Praise
Jesus. I'm getting addicted. That's, I think that's a good addiction. I want to pray for our lost loved ones. I want to pray for everybody that's sick but for myself. I want that jumping in. Okay, that just really resonates with me. Like if it hasn't anything like that in a long, long time. Okay. So, and what I also need is to be studying the Word, what the Lord wants.
How high? Jump. Okay.
What color? So much. Jesus.
Okay.
Jesus.
You
got all of
that?
Do we have the rest of
it? I know. I love
the Lord does.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Right next Sunday.
Good. Come back next Sunday.
Thank you.
I don't think we'll be here.
Jesus.
Resonate with our hearts.
Hallelujah.
Father, we just share our thoughts with you, perishing.
We'll be back for next
week. We know that your love is forever, Father.
You
know
that
the perishing
ones
have come.
And you come back. Oh, no. We're family here in the church.
Mercy, Lord. Yes.
Go up, not down. Go to the right, not to the left.
That's right.
Father, we just pray that you'll draw each one of us
to
these folding
sheepfold of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Open that door for each of
us. Yes.
Father, I pray that you just guide him. Pray in his steps, his Father.
Oh, yes.
I pray that you open it up to him. I pray, Father,
yes.
God, that
Eric is coming home this week, so I want to pray for peace.
Okay.
Oh, mercy.
Is there any reason for it that won't be?
No, but you know what? It doesn't hurt to ask for everybody.
That's right.
Pray,
that's right. You're absolutely right.
You know, maybe this is the week he'll be. You know, he'll be healed. He'll talk. I just, you know, for the whole family.
Father, we just thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing constantly.
Yes.
Lord, Eric, Father,
yes. Great us, mercy.
And Wayne as well. Lord.
Restore, Lord, again.
Brooke, Lord, God, love this whole family.
Yes, Jesus.
And I just pray and trust that you're going to bring us into complete unity, Father.
That's right. Thank you,
Father. Purpose that we're in. Guide our Father, God.
Yes.
Lord, we pray for Eric's healing. We pray for his complete restoration.
Right.
Father, he did nothing wrong. You see, it may have been vaccinations and God knows what it was that caused this, but he has done nothing.
Thank you.
And I just trust, Father, that your perfect justice, Lord, will lead him to that place where he needs to be.
Thank you.
And I just pray for peace in this household.
Yes.
And I just pray, Lord God, for restoration.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Didn't turn it off, huh?